Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve, and God is in the miracle working business, beloved. Well, yesterday we began a broadcast, a message, if you will, which I've entitled Intercessors Wanted, and we're looking at a chapter from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 59, and it's dealing with prayer and answers to prayer. And the Lord begins, as so often He does in the Word of God. We see it in the Psalms. We see it throughout the prophetic books. There's the Lord is speaking. It's a prophetic word. The Lord says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that He cannot hear." And we just got as far as the first four verses, and that fourth verse says, "There is none that call for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity, they speak lies, they conceive mischief, and bring forth iniquity." He is speaking to His people. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. Somewhere in the Psalms, I don't remember the location, the verse just comes to mind. If I consider iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, but behold, the Lord hath heard me. And you might be saying, "Well, Sister Glass, I'm doing everything I can to walk in righteousness and to please the Lord and to follow His word." Amen. But God is looking for intercessors. He's looking for His people who will seek His face in behalf of the people and the nation among whom they are dwelling. We live here in America. It was founded, this nation, upon Christian principles. And if we look at our present day society, we've all but abandoned them, except in the hearts of those who continue to know and fear God. And God wants us to stand in the gap. He wants us to pray for the unsaved, for the lost, even as the great heroes of the Bible did. We look at the lives of the righteous, the great heroes of Hebrews 11, when it talks about Abraham, it talks about Elijah. We see all the tremendous works of Nehemiah. I'm thinking of those Daniel who stood in the gap, prayed for their people, and they identified with the sin of their people. And that is what we are to do. Let us not be deceived. We are never in a position of being completely sinless. John said, "If any man says, 'I don't sin,' he's a liar. The truth is not in him." But with all of our heart, we seek to love God and to serve Him. And then when we do fall short, we can thank God we have an advocate with the Father. That's Jesus Christ, the righteous, who's seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living, to make intercession for us. And He's just and faithful to forgive us our sins as we confess them. And so, beloved, thank God for the power of prayer, because Jesus is our intercessor before the throne of grace. But let's go on now in chapter 59 and see what we can discover, see what we can learn for the times in which we are living. And in verse 5, again, this is the Lord speaking. This is a prophecy. They hatch cockatrice's eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper or an adder. And the New English Bible, the Oxford Study Edition, says this is probably a proverb in Israel. Snakes' eggs could be compared to malicious evil deeds when these wicked of God's people weave cobwebs, that's useless, unproductive schemes and plans. Beloved, we know unless the Lord is in something, except the Lord build a house, they that labor, all their effort, all their work, it's in vain. And so we must come into a place where we are aligning ourselves with the desires of God's heart. Let's go on to read verse 6. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. Violence in their paths. It's a horrific description of, and an accurate description of modern society all across the world. Romans, going out of the New Testament, chapter 3, verses 10 through 18, and just before, I think it's verse 15, it says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And in, let me just go on. In verse 8, it says, continuing now in Isaiah 59, the way of peace they know not. There's no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. And that ends the, or pauses the prophetic declaration, if you will. Let us now go to another reference in Luke, the 11th chapter. And I want to read verses 34 and 35. These are the words of Jesus. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. There's a serious indictment that it is possible, the light, we're speaking naturally as well as spiritually, or spiritual eyes, natural eyes, it's the eye, right? And if we are looking straight ahead in terms of spiritual or even naturally, if you, you know, look where you're going, you're not going to stumble or fall because you'll see what's ahead of your feet. And, you know, I know when I take a walk every day and there's, it's a, just a dirt road, and you better keep your eyes down or else you will step on a rock and you can twist your ankle and thereby fall down, which I've done more than once. So it does help to keep your eyes on the path before you. But if our eye is not single, if that light which we proclaim to be light is darkness, how great is that darkness? And then we see, and let's go on to read. I'm going to read verse 9. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. Again, now this, it moved from prophecy. Now is the prophet speaking. Again, you see he's including himself, we. He's including himself among the people of God, even though he's a righteous man of God, a prophet of God. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears. We mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, and there is none from salvation, but it is far from us. And now he turns his contemplations into a prayer. For our transgressions, Lord, are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and violence, and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. If you're trying to do the right thing, you're a target. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And in verse 16, we see, and he saw, the Lord saw, there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. And in verse 18, I can't stop reading. According to their deeds, accordingly, he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Now, beloved, this is, if you can hear the verbiage, it's really a reference to Jesus' second coming. And the enemy, you know, there will say, well, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Well, as I think we read the Word of God in the end times, the perilous times that shall come, I think it may be more accurate to give that former rendition. The enemy is going to be allowed to come in like a flood. And if it were possible, even the righteous should be deceived. But the Lord Jesus is coming back, and he will judge his enemies. That was verse 17 through 19. He will bring salvation to Israel and to the people of God. Hallelujah. This is the God that we serve. And so all Israel shall be saved. That says Romans 11, 26, 27. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Because there was no qualified human mediator, God brought salvation through Jesus Christ. Praise God. Well, this is such a rich passage of scripture, and my time has just flown, but we will continue on tomorrow's broadcast. I hope you can be with us. And do know, beloved, that I love you deeply, and I am so grateful for my UCM partners, some who stood faithful for decades. I pray for you every day, not only my partners, but those who listen, some faithfully for years, even though you've never written. But God knows who you are, and I thank God for you. And if the Holy Spirit is moving on you to write, then, beloved, there is a reason for doing that. The announcer will give our contact information. I ask that if you do like the convenience of email, know that I will confirm, that I will pray. But if you'd like a personal answer back, I ask you to include your mailing address, never to be shared, but it will be my personal connection with you, and I will respond personally to your needs. I love you, and until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.